Okay, I've gotten this. The reason I decided to discuss the issue of asking two rabbis the same question is I've gotten several shilas in the last week from people who said, "Look, I already asked somebody else this question, and they told me X. What do you think about the issue?" So now, what do you think could just mean I like learning Torah and I want to hear different possible opinions, or it might be I really don't like that first rabbi and I want to prove him wrong. Or it might be I don't like you and I want to prove you wrong, or it could mean a variety of different things. So the question is, if you ask a shaila and you're told an answer to that shaila that you ask, are you then bound by that psak? Are you allowed to ask somebody else? Are you allowed to get a second opinion? Medically, when you get treatment for a medical condition, you're certainly encouraged to go ask a second doctor, go get a second opinion, a fresh set of eyes on the issue. So it's the same true when it comes to halacha. Not only is the question on the questioners, the issue an issue related to asking questions, it's also an issue related to the ethics of the rabbi himself answering the questions. Is the rabbi permitted to answer a question? Meaning, if someone starts off by saying, "I asked Rabbi so-and-so, and he told me this, what do you think? Am I allowed to even answer that question?" Or do I say, "Well, you already asked and answered. You don't need my opinion, even if I disagree. What if I think Rabbi so-and-so is dead wrong? That, look, I want to be respectful, but he's wrong. Now, what if I think he's wrong because I know he's saying something against the Beferish Halacha and Shulchan Aruch? Is that different than I think he's wrong because his analysis of the way the Mishnah Berurah formulates the halacha is not exactly the same as my analysis of the way Mishnah Berurah formulates halacha." So what are the gedarim over here in terms of asking the same shaila twice and answering the same shaila twice? Or let's say there's, for instance, a kashrus issue in one of the local stores, let's say. So I know that one rabbi says it's no good, another rabbi says it's good. There's one rabbi that's in the area that just doesn't like a lot of the VOD policies, so he thinks a lot, like half the VOD stores he just says are, you can't go to. So let's say I went to that rabbi first, and he told me, with a slice of pizza, and I said, "Can I eat this slice of pizza?" And he said, "No, you're not allowed to eat that slice of pizza." So I didn't. I gave it away. Then I go buy another slice of pizza in that same store. Can I take that second slice of pizza to a different rabbi who I know is going to tell me that it's okay? He never passed. The first rabbi never passed on this slice of pizza for me. I didn't ask him about this slice. I asked him about the other slice of pizza. So, but I know what he would say, and there really should be no difference between the two slices of pizza. So that is that's also part of the issue. What's called the shaila that's already paskin? When do you say that shaila has already been paskin? When do you say this is a brand new shaila? So as far as I'm aware of, and there are probably more gemaras, but as far as I'm aware of, there are four gemaras in Shas that I'm aware of that discuss this issue or something around this issue. So let's go through the gemaras first, and then we'll take it from there. First is a gemara in Nida Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Says the gemara, Yalta. The Gemara over there talks about Chachamim looking at Maros Dam, looking at blood to determine whether it's Dam Nida or not Dam Nida. That's the whole sugya over there, different tricks of the trade that various Chachamim had. But anyway, Yalta brought Dam to Rabbi Bar Bechana, Vitamila. Rabbi Bar Bechana said, "I'm sorry, this is Dam Tame, you're a Nida." Hadar Aisa Lekame Rabbi Yitzchak Bered Rabbi Yehuda. She then said, "Okay, can I have it back?" And she went to Rabbi Yisrael Bered Rabbi Yehuda and brought that same blood to him. V'dachila. And he said that it's tahar. It's well known in the issues of Maros that there are different Masoros, particularly in the issues of Maros. It's well known, for instance, that Chassidish Poskim are much more makil in issues of Maros than non-Chassidish Poskim. There are certain shades of red that a lot of Chassidish Poskim will be makil with because they just have a Masoros that it's not Dam, that it's, it doesn't have a din of Dam. Whereas non-Chassidish Poskim, even within the non-Chassidic world, some are machmir on certain yellows and browns on golds and different colors, different shades, and some will say, "No, red is red, everything else is okay." So there's some mechalik between the first 3 days of Shiva Nekima. So there are a lot of different Masoros. So this woman brought Yalta, brought to Rabbi Bechana, he said Tame. Then she brought that same Mara to Rabbi Yitzchak Bered Rabbi Yehuda, he said it's Tahar. Frek the Gemara, the Hechi Yavad Hachi, how was Rabbi Yitzchak Bered Rabbi Yehuda allowed to do this? V'atanya, Chacham Shetime, and Chavei Rashi L'Tahar. If one Chacham said it's Tame, the other guy's not allowed to say it's Tahar. Asar, Ein Chavei Rashi L'Hatir. If one chacham says something's aser, another guy's not allowed to come along and say that it's mutter. So says the Gemara, Me'ikara tmuye have a matmila, kiven da amrla de kol yoma have a matdili ki agavna, Fascinating. That Rav Yitzchak brings Rav Yehuda, the second rabbi that she came to, originally said, look, you asked this shayla, it was answered tameh, it's tameh, there's nothing to talk about. But then she said, no, I always have this same color. I always bring it to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. He always says it's tahar. The only thing is his eyes were hurting today. He's not seeing things straight. But I'm telling you, it's always the same color and he always says tahar. So then Rav Yitzchak brings Rav Yehuda said, okay, then it's tahar. So in that situation, he said it's tahar. So what do you see from this Gemara? In terms of the posek himself. So at first it seems clear that if you believe the first posek was of sound mind and reasoning and knew what he was doing, and he paskin tame, even if you happen to disagree with it, so you can't express your disagreement. You have to conform. But something happened over here that allowed him to express a different opinion. Because he thought the first posek's opinion was invalid. First of all, you see a lot of things from this Gemara. You also see that we trust the woman to determine that it's the same color it's always been. We assume she's familiar with the nuances of the color, whatever streaks there might be, whatever it is. We assume she's trusted to say that. It's also a little bit strange though that if she knew that this is the same color that he always says tahar on,
why did she tell him?
Why did she ask? What is she asking about? Every single month she has this color, all the time she has this color, and she goes to Rabbi Bachana, why didn't she tell him is also a good question. But why does she even have to ask the shaila? Is there a point where you get to certain shades where you know it's a shayla? It just needs to be dealt with by a posek, even if you know better. It's an interesting aside. But anyway, ask the Gemara, Umi mehimni? Is she really believed? In, Vatanya, Nemenes Yisholomer, Kazar Yisiv Avadativ. Yeah, we do believe her to say that I saw this kind of color, and that it's the same color. Okay. The Gemara goes on to say, the Gemara goes on to say a few lines further. Tashma, the Yalta Isadam the Kamei Rabbi Bechana v'Tamila the Kamei Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda v'Dachila. Same story, right? Behechi Avir Hachi, but how is the second rabbi allowed to do that? V'Tanya Chacham Shetima in Chaver Rashi l'Taher. Same question. V'Amrina Tumi Avu Matmila Kivun Da Amrli D'Kaliyah Malchul Kiyagavna V'Inu D'Chashbeinei Hada Dachila Alma Mehemnala. You see that we do believe her. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda. Agamre samach. But then the Gemara adds in a few more words. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, the second rabbi, agamre samach. What does that mean, agamre samach? Is that an explanation of the first answer, or is that a new answer? So the way some of the Rishonim understand it is, it's a new answer. It's a new explanation of why he was allowed to do this. Why was he allowed to paskin? The Shiloh was ready to paskin. He had a mesora that this was tahar. He knew that this was tahar. He had agamre means that his Gemara that he learned from his rebbeim, he had a mesora, he had a tradition that this was tahar. And therefore he felt he had to say it was tahar, even though the other rabbi said it was tana. So that might be its own standalone heter. That's Gemara number one. Gemara number two. Mesech Savo Dezar Dav Zayin Amar Aleph. Tan Rabbanan. Hanisha L'chacham V'timei, Lo Yisha L'chacham V'yitaher. Now, notice the first Gemara. Whose perspective was the first Gemara written from? Whose Isra are we talking about? The Isra and the questioner or the posek? So the first Gemara we had, it was very clear that Chacham Shetimei in Chaver Rashi L'Tahar, it's a din on the posek. The second Gemara, not as clear. Hanisha L'Chacham, that which was asked to a Chacham, and his Metamei, Lo Yisha L'Chacham Yitahar, should not be asked to another Chacham to then be Metahar. L'Chacham Va'asar Lo Yisha L'Chacham V'yatir. That which was asked to one Chacham who said, also you can't ask to another Chacham to be Matir. Hayu shnayim. If there were two chacham, mechem netame, vechem netar, echad osa, vechem matir. Let's say there were two rabbis at the same time that you went to. One of them said tar, one said tame, one said motzer, one said aser. Ima yachamim godem lechaveru b'chacham of minyan halach achrav. One of them is clearly greater than the other one, so follow the greater one. V'im lav halach achar machmir. Otherwise, if they're on equal footing, you just go with the more machmir opinion. Rabbi Shimon Bar Chochma, Rabbi Shimon Bar Chochma says, wait, you don't. That's not true. We're not always machmir and everything. No, what's our rule about when we're machmir? Bishal Torah halacha achar machmir, bishal sofrim halacha achar mekel. If it's a din d'oraisa in question, you're machmir, because it's something d'oraisa l'chumra. If it's din d'rabban, you're mekel. Amr of Yosef, hilchsak Rabbi Shimon Karcha, we pass on Rabbi Shimon Karcha. If it's a din d'oraisa, two chum disagree, and then you ask them both at the same time, so you, if it's a din d'oraisa, you're machmir, if it's din d'rabban, you're mekel. Good, that's this Gemara. Now, a lot appears in this Gemara that didn't appear in the first Gemara. First of all, it seems that we're discussing from the perspective of the person asking the question. So whereas the first Gemara was a clear Isser on the Chacham to answer a question that's already been asked and answered, the second Gemara seems to be the questioner shouldn't ask a second time. Not only that, the Gemara gives specific examples. If you ask the Chacham v'timei, lo yishal l'chacham v'yitar. If you ask the Chacham v'osar, lo yishal l'chacham v'yatir. What if it was the other way around? What if you ask the Chacham, there are people like this, they don't like kulas. There are people that when they ask a shayla, they don't want you to tell them it's mutter. I've had this experience many times. Are you sure? This one says this. Are you sure? They'll call back five times till you give the chumrah. So, if let's say they asked one rabbi and he just refused to give them a chumrah. He told them, no, it's mutter to breathe the air outside. You don't have to worry about the microscopic organisms, that it's bugs or whatever. You know, whatever chumrah of the month that they're worried about. So you tell them it's mutter. So are they allowed to go ask another rabbi who they know is more machmir? It only says it the reverse. You're not allowed to go shopping for a kula. So there are two ways to look at this Gemara. One way to look at the Gemara is, no, you're not allowed to go shopping for a kula. There's no issue of going shopping for a chumrah. Adrabah, there's one day in the Gemara that says that we're not sure what to do, just be machmir. So what should be the problem of shopping for a chumrah? The other perspective is, no, the Gemara spoke about the most common case. Typically, people don't go shopping for chumrahs. Typically, people are more likely to be enticed to go shopping for kulas. But you're not allowed to, the issur is that you're not allowed to ask a shayla twice. So in order to answer that question, we're going to need to understand what's behind this issur. Why are you not allowed to ask a second time? What's wrong with asking a second time? That is Gemara number two. Gemara number three is a Gemara Chul and Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Get to the important part. The Gemara again just quotes Chacham Shatime Ein Chaver Rashi L'Tayr Asar Ein Chaver Rashi L'Hatir. Okay, I don't think it has. Too much to add. The Gemara just introduces a concept of basar shahora b'chacham, or of chaticha shahora b'chacham, which is a concept that if you have a shayla about a certain piece of meat, it's a worthwhile mitas chasidus that the Gemara has that you should stay away, even if the chacham paskin that it's mutter, you should stay away from it. It's a maila to stay away from it because it was a shayla, because of the fact that it was a shayla. That's what someone asked Rav Moshe once about a certain shayla that Rav Moshe held was mutter, and they said, but even if you say it's mutter, should I stay away from it because it was a shayla? And Rav Moshe said, no, it wasn't a shayla. It was just because you didn't know, didn't make it a shayla. A shayla means that there's a shikl hadas, there's something that needs analysis. Just because you're an amaris doesn't make everything a shayla. So that's all that Gemara introduces, not really germane to our topic. Fourth Gemara has a very fascinating story. The fourth Gemara Sanhedrin Chavtesam Beis. Ha'udava Karle Kav Rashu. There was a guy that they used to call Kav Rashu. So why did they call him that? So the Rashi over there explains. The Gemara Sanhedrin is somewhere out there. Yeah, Rashi over there explains. Joining Sanhedrin Yeshiva next year. Apparently in the morning. Rashi Sanhedrin Chavtesam Beis explains Kav Rashu. I'm not finding it. I don't know. But anyway, they basically said that he was a stingy guy, that he wasn't... I don't know why I don't see it. Mole kav shtaros yeshalav. He was someone who owed a lot of money. There was a whole kav full of shtaros that were out against him. There were lots of people that he owed money to. So that's what they said about this guy. So Amar, man masik bi ele ploni uploni. So the guy said, what do you mean? I don't owe money to 1,000 people. I only owe money to Reuven and Shimon. So he just, he just dug a hole for himself. Because now he
makes us.
But he was moda that he owed money to Reuven and Shimon. So asu tavu l'dina kamed Rav Nachman. So they went to a dintar in front of Rav Nachman, Reuven and Shimon, and they said, he was moda. He said he owed us money. So Amar Rav Nachman, adam asu shlo las bi es atzmo. No, the reason he did that is because people don't like to make it look like they're rich sometimes and that everything is going smoothly, because then you get all the schnurrers, you get every... They want it to make it look like they're struggling a little bit so they'll be left alone. So some people don't make... Or ayin hara, or whatever it is. They want to make it look like they're not sailing smooth. There's another guy that they called like a mouse who lied on coins, that he would hoard all the stuff. Kikashach v'amar, when he was dying, he said, Planyo planyo maska bizuzi, that I owe money to Reuven and Shimon. When he was dying on his deathbed, so basa d'shachiv, basa tavinu l'yarshim, after he died, they went to the Yarshim, and they said, Reuven and Shimon went to the Yarshim and said, your dad on his deathbed said he owed us money, pay up. Also, came to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So they went to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi for a din Torah. Amr Luhu, so Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, he said that he owed them money. Ki amrin ad masa shol asbias atzmo hanimim lechayim v'lach remis alo. When do we say a person doesn't want to make it look like everything's going easy for him? That's when he's alive. But over here, he's dying. He's not worried about people coming collecting. He's not worried about Aina. He's dying. So therefore, he has no reason to lie. And we believe that he owes money to Reuven and Shimon, so pay up. Paru palga. At that point, they paid half. The Yorshim paid half. Tavinu ledina liidach palga. So he summoned them to a din Torah on the other half. Also, kaved Rabbi Chiya. Except this time, they didn't go to the same rabbi. They went to the basin of Rabbi Chiya. Amr lehu. So Rabbi Chiya said, "Kashem shad demaser shalol asbias atzmo kachad demaser shalol asbias banav." He said, "Well, just like a person doesn't want to make it look like he's, you know, he's going so smoothly financially, he doesn't want his children to have to go through that either. So he would lie in order to make it look like his children have financial struggles also, and therefore you don't owe the money. Reuven and Shimon are not owed the money." So Amr lehu, Nezel and Hadar. They're like, "All right, we won on appeal." Let's get the money back that we paid already. We paid half the money. We deserve that money back. Amalu kvar horazakein. No, that money was already paskin by the previous rabbi, and that money has stayed there. The previous rabbi paskin on all the money? Yeah, but, you know, I'm paskining different on the rest of the money. Whatever money's there is there. That was from his psak, and my psak is binding on the money that hasn't yet been paid up. So this Gemara changes everything, because this Gemara sounds like the rabbi himself was aware of the earlier psak. He was aware that it was against his own opinion. He argued it anyway. And yet he still respected it enough for the money that already changed hands to stay where it was. So what in the world is going on? So in order to understand all of these issues and what all of these Gemaras teach us, we need to take a step back. First of all, who's the Isser on? Is it an Isser on the rabbi or an Isser on the person asking the Shiloh or both? So the interesting, the Gemara that sounded like it was an Isra on the person asking the Shaila. There's only one Gemara that sounded that way, and that was the Gemara of Zardav Zayin. Source number two. Hanisha l'chacham v'timeh. Now, what would you have said if you were talking about the person asking the question? What Hebrew word would you use to describe the person asking the question? If the Isra was on him, you probably would not say Hanishal. You would say Hashoel. Someone who's asking the question. Someone who asked the question to a chacham and was metame should not then go ask a question to another chacham to be metame. What's a nishal? Nishal means that which was asked, or he who was asked. So what's going on? So, first, there are three approaches you could take. One approach, or four approaches maybe. One approach is that there are plenty of places where hanishal really means hashavah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Asamachay says Hanishal ba'ovi yedoni, and it means someone who is shoel ba'ovi yedoni. These different types of sorcerers or whatever, he's chayiv misa, whatever it is. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Aleph Ein nishalin bu'urim v'tumim el melech. What is it? Ein nishalin bu'urim v'tumim el melech. Only the melech is allowed to be shoel bu'urim v'tumim. Yet he uses the lashon of nishal. Gemara Nida Daf Hey Safek tuma haba biyadi bidei adam. Nish'alin aleha. It means shoalin aleha. So one approach is to say, lav dafka. It's clearly talking about the shoel, and sometimes we use the word nish'al when we mean shoel. The other second approach would be that no, nish'al is not the shoel, nor is it the rabbi. Nish'al is the object. Go back to our slice of pizza case. I have one slice of pizza I bring to the rabbi that doesn't hold of the hashkacha in the store, and he says, oh, you can't eat that. Okay, as long as I don't bring that same slice of pizza to another rabbi, I'm good. Buy another slice of pizza from the store, bring that to a rabbi who does hold to the hashkacha, and then I'll be good. Right? Because it's a din of the cheftza. Nishal means that the exact object that you asked about, you shouldn't ask about to another rabbi. That's the second possible approach. Third approach is what Tosas and Nida says. Tosas and Nida, which is in source number 5, says, he says, well, let's take a step back from the Gemara Nida. What happened in the Gemara Nida? You have this woman, asked one rabbi about her dam. The rabbi said tame. She went and asked another rabbi. The rabbi said tahar. So the Gemara says, how is that second rabbi allowed to do that? What would you have asked? What would have been your first question on that story? Not how is the rabbi allowed to do that? How is she allowed to do that? And we know the woman's name, Yalta. She was a big tzaddikas. How is she allowed to do it? So Frecht tells us, Yesh makshal Yalta hechi avdahachi. Hamrin parakam yisakas avodazara nishal chacham v'timil o yishal chacham v'yitar. That you're not allowed to ask the same rabbi two questions. Says Tosos, Yishlomer dekpeda lo havya ashoel ela achacham. There is no isser on the person asking. There's only an isser on the chacham. Why is there no isser on the person asking the question to ask it to multiple rabbis? Aval ashoel yishal kol ma sheyirtza d'mitoch gach yidak deku b'davar upa'amim sharishon tovev yotza adavar la'ora. Nothing bad could come out of asking the question many times. If anything, the sugya will become more clear. It's good to check up on rabbis once in a while. You ask someone something, so they'll tell you, yeah, Tamei Torah or whatever. You're not going to ask anybody else, you're not going to get caught. You ask somebody else, and all of a sudden he says something different. So I'm not going to say the first rabbi did it on purpose. Maybe he really thought that was halach. He wasn't thinking straight away. But then he realizes, no, this happens many times. I've had this, I've been on both sides of this equation. Where someone asked a rabbi about a fresh challah question or a Rav and Cedars, and I thought he was incorrect, and I got to get, and they came to me afterwards and they said, well, this rabbi said this, and so they told me what he said, and I put together a whole argument, sent him a whole email with my oldest argument, says, you're right. He was Moda. He said, I made a mistake. You're right. I was unaware of all those timers. It's happened to me also on the flip side. You know, I just didn't see everything. You don't always see everything. Sometimes you miss something. So it's good. Good to ask multiple times, not because you're looking for a heter. You're not going shopping for a heter. You're looking for the truth. And you're not going to follow the second rabbi just because he says tahar or mutter. You're going to tell him the first rabbi said otherwise. What do you think? And if he thinks differently, he'll discuss it with the first rabbi. And together, they'll have pulpul shel Torah, and they'll come out with something. And hopefully they'll come to some sort of agreement. And if they don't, so then you're still bound by the psak of the first rabbi. But if they come to some sort of agreement, and the first rabbi was wrong, good, so then you have the MS. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with finding the MS. That's Tosfos' approach. That there's nothing wrong with asking the question a second time. Now that explains why the Gemara Nida only asks the question on the rabbi, doesn't ask the question on Yalta. It also explains, what it doesn't explain is the Lashon of Lo Yishal. Right? It says, meaning, the Gemara said, Hanishal means he who was asked, the way Tosfos is understanding it, should not, when a person was asked, a second person should not be Metaher. When one person was asked, was Metami, second person, but it doesn't say Lo Nishal L'Chacham Acher. It says Lo Yishal. That sounds like it's going on the Shoah. Okay, so that's a little bit, there's an inconsistency in the language of the Gemara exactly in Maseches Nida. Tosfos of Avodah Zarah, however, has a slight different nuance. If you look at source number 6, so Tosfos says, Vim Tomar V'chi Lo Yishal L'Kol HaChacham V'yadunu Zayim Zayim Lo Yishuvu Midvarav. Tells in Avodah Zarah, again, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah over there says that, is my watch slow? No, that's fast, right? It's not 9:57. Okay, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah over there says that if you ask one rabbi, you're not supposed to go ask another rabbi. So ask Tosfos, why not? You know, like he said in Nida, why not? Go ask as many people as you want. Maybe you'll be able to clarify the union. Says Tosfos, Yeshlomer de'enu asr elu lishoel im lo yodia lo kvar sha'alti leploni va'asali. So Tosfos adds in a thing. He says, there could be an Isra on the Shoel, but that's only if you don't inform the second person that you had already asked the Shaila. There's no Isra to ask the Shaila a second time if you inform the second rabbi, I already asked the Shaila and had it answered, so that the second rabbi could know that he's not going to contradict the first rabbi. If he thinks the first rabbi is wrong, he'll discuss it with him, and they'll see if they come to an agreement.
When do you tell him after the fact? Like,
before you ask it.
You are supposed to tell
him. So you ask Rabbi number one a shayla. He says, Aser. So you go to Rabbi number two and you say, Rabbi number one said Aser, but I don't really understand why he said it's Aser. It doesn't really make much sense to me. What do you think? So now the rabbi knows that you've already asked the shayla from, and he knows who you've asked shayla to. He knows who he would have to discuss if he disagrees. Who to call. So he's not going to, now the rabbi, from his perspective, is not allowed to tell you, nah, mutter, forget about what that rabbi said, he's an idiot. He's not allowed to do that. He has to tell you, Let me talk to him, and we'll get back to you. Right, I got an email from a fellow in Chicago last week who asked me a shiloh about some shir I gave on you know, that was online. And he said, I asked another rabbi, and he told me this is Usser. What do you think? So he told me. He told me that he asked, and he said that the other guy said it was Usser. So the truth is, I thought it was 100% mutter. There was a case about medicine on Shabbos where I thought it was a covered abrius issue. I thought it was 100% mutter. So I said, who's the other rabbi? I didn't tell him that I thought it was mutter. I said, who's the other rabbi? I'll give him a call. And he told me that he gave me the name of the rabbi, and the rabbi is a tremendous posek. He's a major posek who's had this shaila, I'm sure, many, many times, and didn't make a mistake. He held that it's aser, and there's a reasonable person could hold that it's aser. There's nothing wrong. I mean, I don't think he's wrong. I just don't see it the same. I don't see the halacha the same way. So there's no point in me calling him now. Now I know who the other rabbi is. So I told the guy, you asked the shaila, you had it answered. You know, if it would have been someone I never heard of, that maybe would be someone who's on my level or whatever, so then I would have said, okay, I'll call it, we'll discuss it, and then when we discuss it, maybe we'll come out, maybe I'll convince him to, that's happened to me also. Someone from Cleveland called me, and they said that they asked their rabbi, and they said that a certain, I think it was an oven or something, or kashering something issue, that the rabbi said it was usher. So again, I said, you asked your rabbi, what's the rabbi's name? He gave me the rabbi's name. I didn't recognize that rabbi's name. I Googled him. It didn't seem like he was 50 years older than me. So I figured it wasn't such a chutzpah to call. So I called the rabbi up, or I emailed him or whatever. And he said, okay, yeah, I'm asking. He says, I personally still disagree, but I'm mocha. You could absolutely, you have a legitimate psak, so I'm mocha that psak. So that's the way it's supposed to work in Tosa's view. So again, there's a slight difference between Tosa Nida and Tosa Avodah Zarah. Tosa Nida just says, there's no issue on the Shoel. You're allowed to ask however you want, whoever you want, whenever you want. That's fine. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah says, whoa, not so fast. There still is an Isser on the Shoel. It's just that you can get around the Isser by informing the second rabbi what the first rabbi had said. But there is an Isser to add. You can't just ask whoever you want. You have to inform the second rabbi what the first rabbi said. Now, those are the Shitos. Now, why is there an Isser? What would the Isser be? Whether it be from the rabbi's perspective or from the shoel's perspective. What's the problem of having a shaila? You know, if I know the halacha and someone asks me the shaila, I'm supposed to answer that. That's why God gave me that knowledge. That's why I'm supposed to, that's what I was born to do. I was born to answer questions. So someone asks me a question, I'm not going to answer his question. So what's wrong with that? So there are three shitos in Rishonim. Rashi, Maseches Nida, source number 7, Meikar etmuy tamila, Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak was metame mishum kvodo de Rabbi Bar Bechana. That originally he was metame when he heard that Rabbi Bar Bechana was metame. Why? Not because he thought it was tave, but because the armor of Rabbi Bar Bechana demanded that he says tame. You're not going to contradict the first rabbi. It's a pigam in his covet to contradict him. So it's a din covet a rav. So essentially, the guy is dead wrong. I know he's wrong, right? Let's say the first rabbi is completely wrong. I still can't contradict him because there's another din that you have to be mechabed a rav and that you're not allowed to embarrass him. So that's why I can't contradict this psak. That's Shitas Rashi. And a lot of times you have halachic considerations that go up against each other. So here, on the one hand, I have the halachic consideration that I want to say the MS. On the other hand, I have the maintaining the dignity and the cover of the other rabbi. So MS is very high value, but the dignity of the other rabbi is a higher value.
But if it's a wrong halacha,
right, it's a wrong halacha, but it's also the wrong halacha to be mevaza another rabbi. So I can say, okay, you asked your shaila, you got it answered, fine. Leave it at that.
There's no such thing as a wrong halacha. If someone paskins something, then that's not halacha.
Oh, that's not so true. Let's say a person says, you're allowed to murder. I paskin, you're allowed to murder. And the guy's a big talmud chacham, he just forgot that it says lo siyatzach. He forgot for a second. I'm just saying, no, so where do you draw that line? That's part of our discussion, is where we draw that line. What if it's Beferish and Shulchan Aruch?
Then it's not a Shaila. That's the thing.
Okay, good. So where do we draw that line? It's Beferish and Mishnah Brura, but the Chayyadim disagrees. Like, where do you draw the line exactly?
But now what happens if someone comes and asks that guy the same question?
So then there's this other consideration that, forget about MS versus, you know, Mishan Shalom, I could lie about, for the sake of Shalom, I could, if my wife calls and says, did you run that errand for me? I could say, yeah, and then quickly run out and do it. Because for the sake of Shalom, you know, you're allowed to tell a lie like that. No, you know, that doesn't hurt anybody. But if I falsify Torah, So that's very bad. I'm saying the Torah says something that it doesn't say. That could be potentially very, very bad to give a false front of what the Torah actually says. Good, so we need to discuss that. Let's just take first just what the Shittos are. So Rashi says, Kvodo Shel Rishon. That's why you're not allowed to do it. Now, according to Rashi, is that an Isra? Who would that Isra be on? For sure the second Chacham. Not a Bipogim in the covenant of the first Chacham. What about the Shoel? Is it an Isra for him to ask? Is that a Pekam in the covenant of the Rishon? What's the Pekam in the covenant? That the second guy is going to say different? Or that you're even asking the second opinion when you already know the first opinion? So you could argue that the Pekam in the covenant is only that when someone says different. But asking, that's just Talmud Torah. I'm not allowed to discuss that sugya anymore. I gave a shiur about warming drawers last week and asked Rabbi what he holds about a warming drawer. So now I'm never allowed to ask another rabbi what he holds about a warming drawer. I'm not allowed to discuss the issues of Shia and Akzara and all the Leibed Hilcha Shabbos issues. Because it's been discussed. Rabbi Willig Paskin. So you could argue that no, it's only an Isra on the Chacham, it's not an Isra on the Shoel. Or you could say, no, I could talk and learn, but I can't go asking the Shaila looking for an answer to know what to do when I've already got an answer to know what to do. So Rashi's a little bit wide open. The Ratan of Odezardav Beis writes that the reason you can't, the issue is that it's near a Kishtei Toros. That if you're going to have one rabbi say Tameh, the other rabbi says Tar, on the same Shaila, it looks like there are two different Toros. And that's a Bizayin Torah. Now the problem with that is, we have Machlokism all the time. What, because I ask it, that makes it Kishtei Toros? I know, but my friend asks it, the guy who sits next to me in shul can go ask another rabbi, and he'll say Tahar, and my rabbi said Tameh. So that's not near Kishtei Toros. But if I ask one rabbi says Tameh, another rabbi says Tameh, that's near Kishtei Toros. So it's a little bit difficult to understand exactly what the Ran is saying. Unless you say that, no, Psakalah, Machlokasim we have. But when you have a specific case in front of you, someone wants to know how to behave, and they're told, Psak halacha, this is the behavior that you do. This is what you do from here. For me to say, no, that's not what you do, that's near Kishtei Taros. Talking in the Beis Medrash, Machlokas, is not near Kishtei Taros. But to tell someone, oh, he told you yes, I tell you no, that's near Kishtei Taros. The third sheet is the sheet of the Rush. It's also quoted in the name of the Ravid. The Rosh in Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph Siman Gimel, the Rosh says totally different. The Rosh says the reason is, third line, Dekivan dekvar asra harishon v'shav yechaticha di'isura ein lo lismo chalach ha-shiyati renula. Whoa, the Rosh says something totally different. I asked the Shaila to my rabbi, he told me it's asr. My rabbi said it's asr, it's asr. Then I was just thinking about it more and I wanted to discuss it with somebody else and I asked it to somebody else. And they tell me it's mutter. As soon as I asked my first rabbi and he said it's usser, I accepted the psak of isser. Memela became usser for me. Because that was my acceptance of the psak of isser. The Rush uses the phrase, shavya anafshe chaticha di isura. That if you say, let's say, this item of food is truma, even though you have no raya that it's truma, no one knows it's truma, but I said it's truma, memela, for me it's truma. Even though I have no ne'amanus, and for anyone else it's not going to be truma, but for me it's truma. So I asked the rabbi and he told me this food is treif, and someone else, it turns out every other rabbi in the world holds it's not treif. But once I accepted the psak of my rabbi, it became masa for me. So now wait a second, who's the isra? The isra's on the Shoah, right? Shouldn't be an isra on the chacham. It's not his problem that I was Shaviyad. He's got to tell me the truth. It's not his problem that I was Shaviyad Av Shechaticha the Yisura. But the Gemara said Beferish is an Yisra on the Chacham. So what's the Yisra on the Chacham? The Yisra on the Chacham is to tell him, it's okay, you can do it. Don't worry about the fact that the other guy said it's Asir. I can't tell him that. I can tell him the halacha is that it's Mutter, but you're not allowed to do it because you already took it that it's Asir. Now, in order to understand what the Rosh is even talking about, we need to understand a little bit about Shavya Nafsha Katicha Disura, a major discussion of which is well beyond, the 12 minutes we have left. But the discussion about Shavya Nafsha Katicha Disura that you have in the Achronim is, Mehichi Tesi, that because I said something is Asr, that makes it Asr? No, if it's Asr, it's Asr. Why is the fact that I said, I agreed that it's Asr, why does it make it Asr for me? It's Mutter for the rest of the world, that's for me. Where does that come from? So there, the classic chakira in Shavya Nafshe Chaticha D'Yisura, it's mentioned by the Ketzos and Siman Lam Dalid, but the classic chakira that they say over is it a din in ne'emanus or a din in neder? That when I say that I think this food is treif. Does that mean that I'm believed legabe myself, but I'm not believed legabe anybody else? Now let's say I go to one of the kosher pizza stores, it has a good hashkacha, it has everything, and I say, yeah, it's treif. So I'm not allowed to eat there anymore. Everyone else is allowed to eat there. I have no ne'amanus. The mashkiach is much better ne'amanus, the OU, or whatever, chafke, whatever hashkacha, they have much more ne'amanus than I do. So everybody else in the world is allowed to eat there. But I'm not, because shavya nafshe chatech with yisura. Why is that? Is it because I'm believed legabe myself? It's not pure ne'amanus. Ne'amanus normally goes that you're always, that you're believed across the board. But you're believed legabe yourself, and you say, no. No one believes me. Everyone thinks I'm an idiot for saying that it's treif. Everyone knows that it's a kosher place. It's possible that it's a kosher place. Even legabe myself, I'm not believed. But Elamai, I'm allowed to take a neder. That just like, you know, something that's completely mutter, I could take a neder. Like I always mention, I have a friend in Cedarhurst who, he had a difficult time going on diets. Whenever he needed to lose weight, he is a very frum guy. He has not so good with self-control in terms of food. So whenever he needed to lose weight, he took a neder that he's not going to eat any cake or cookies for X amount of time, for 2 months. And he knew that eating cake and cookies for those, during those 2 months, like being Mechal Shabbos, it's violating this, not quite Mechal Shabbos, but it's violating Nisr Daraisa. Because by making a neder, you made it a Nisr Daraisa. He would never violate a Nisr Daraisa. So, I shmarta modus nafsho seichem, anyway, if he's getting fat, then it might be a violation. Okay, but he didn't view that as a clear Nisr Daraisa. So he would never violate Nisr Daraisa. But you can create a Nisr Daraisa, so it's totally mutter, you can make it also through neder. That's how Shitum Gvetzes understands. There are kashas on both of those shitas, and the shita that I prefer is the Truma Sakri. The Truma Sakri in the back of the Ketos HaChoshen says, no, Shavya Nafshe works in a completely different way. Shavya Nafshe is not that I'm believed, nor is it that it's a neder. Rather, Shavya Nafshe is that if I believe that something is treif, I'm not allowed to eat it, no matter who tells me that it's kosher. Meaning, if in my heart of hearts, I believe that this slice of pizza has pig in it, I don't care that there's an OU on it. I don't care that there's a... It doesn't matter. And the whole world could think I'm an idiot and think that I'm off the wall. Why do I think this? Who put this bug in my head that this is usher? I don't know who put it in, but it's in my head. I believe with all my heart that this is usher. Memela, I'm not allowed to eat it because I'm a religious Jew. So if I hold it, something's usher, I'm not allowed to have it. It's not because I'm believed. No one believes me. Even klapei me, no one believes me. It's not a neder either. I'm not taking a neder. A neder is something that's mutter that I take a neder on. I hold this is glat treif. I hold it's usher. So therefore, I'm not allowed to eat it. That's shavya nafshe chatichat yisura. So plugging that back into our case. You ask a rabbi, Yishayel, he tells you that it's usher. So now, that triggers Shavya Nafshe. So you could say, once I accept his psak, it's like I took a neder, then I'm going to follow whatever he says. Problem is, by neder, there's such a concept called neder betalus. Let's say I take a neder because I think I assume a certain set of facts, and it turns out that set of facts that I was assuming was totally off. I took a neder because when I was reading the not to eat cake for 2 months, because when I was reading the doctor's chart, I was it looked like I was 30 pounds overweight. But then it turned out I was reading the women's chart. You know, so I'm just right. So I'm exactly right. So that's a neder betolos. Neder's not binding. If the facts that the neder was based on. So if I asked the rabbi, I was asking the rabbi because I thought he knows. I thought he'd give me the right answer. It turns out he gave me the wrong answer, and the other rabbi that I go to is able to prove that he gave me the wrong answer. Well then, neder shouldn't be operative over here. We shouldn't say shavya nafshe chatichat yisura. If it's zin of ne'amanus, can you change your mind? Are you allowed to change your mind when you're believed about something? It's a very... The Shavya Nafshe sounds great. It's just hard to plug in exactly. Because, you know, I may be believed, but well, who says I can't change my mind? Or certainly like the Truma Sakri. If I hold its usher, I'm not allowed to eat it. Good, now I hold its mutter. So why shouldn't I be allowed to eat it? So it's a nice... The Rush sounds like a great... It's just hard to fit into the exact definitions of Shavya Nafshe Chatichat Yisura. L'may Nafkamina, whether it's an issue of Kvodo Shal Rishon, the covenant of the first rabbi, or it's an issue of Shavya Nafshe Chatichat Yisura. So there are several Nafkaminas. What if I already asked the second rabbi and he already told me it's mutter? So now am I allowed to follow that psak? So if it's a din of Kvodo Shal Rishon, well, the Kvodo Shal Rishon has already been killed because the second rabbi already paskined it. Right? So now I could follow the second rabbi's psak. But if it's din shavi anaf shechetichad yisura, once I accept it as asr, it's asr. I don't care how many rabbis tell me it's mutter. The other issue may be, who's the isr on? If it's din shavi anaf shechetichad yisura, it's clearly on the shoel, the person asking the question. If it's an isr of kvodo shel rishon, then it's an isr on the rabbi. That the rabbi shouldn't be, the second rabbi shouldn't be pogim in the covenant of the first rabbi. Another issue, another nafkamina might be, is it only on that chaticha that I asked about? I take that slice of pizza and I ask the first rabbi, is this kosher? He tells me no. I then buy a second slice of pizza from the same store that should have the same status as the first slice, and I go to another rabbi and he tells me, yeah, that's kosher. Is that okay? So if you hold that the only reason I'm bound by the first psak is shavi anaf shechaticha di yisura, notice the lashon, chaticha di yisura. I made that first slice of pizza usher to me. Let's assume some form of neder. I took a neder not to eat that slice. I never took a neder not to eat the second slice. Even though theoretically, halachically, they should be the same. But if it's a din kvodo shel rishon, it's still pegam in the first guy's kavod. If, the pizza's coming from the same place and the first guy said it's usher, the second guy is going to say that it's mutter. So that would be another nafkamina. Now, on that issue, the Ramah, well, we'll get to the Ramah. The Ramah will be the last thing we do, just in terms of bringing it all together, how we paskin. Another issue might be, what if the second rabbi I ask is much greater than the first rabbi? This happens a lot also. Someone asked me a shayla, and I told them, I don't know, go ask Rav Shechter, go ask Rav Willer, go ask, go ask one of the bigger, someone is, a lot of times I get shaylas from boys in YU or whatever. I'm like, you're sitting 5 feet away from Rav Shechter. Stop calling me.
You're not paskin.
Right, so in that case I'm not paskin. But let's say I did paskin, and then they're like, hey, I'm 5 feet away from Rav Shechter, what the heck did I just call Leibowitz for? So then they go and they ask Rav Shechter. So does he have to worry about my kavod? He has no chiv to worry about my kavod. He's much greater than I am. But so if it's din kvodo shel rishon, okay, maybe he does here. So if it's a din kvodo shel rishon, so then maybe he doesn't have a chiyuv kavod. Adrav, I have to be mechabed him. But if it's a din of shavi anafshe, well, when the person asked me the shayla and was asked and answered, so they accepted my psak and was aser, and that was it. So it's all tally on this chakira. What comes out in the end is that there are several exceptions where Rishonim throughout Shas say that a second chacham is allowed to contradict the first chacham. Tosfos Maseches Chulin says that if it's agamrei samich, remember that lashon from the Gemara, if I have a specific tradition that I know to be true, that the first chacham didn't have, I'm allowed to paskin against the first chacham. Tosfos Avod Zara says if the second chacham is more machmir, he's allowed to paskin against the first chacham. When's it pegam in the covenant of the first chacham? If he was machmir, something, and I'm mekil. But if he was Mekel and I want to be more Machmir, that's okay. That you're allowed to do. If the guy is Mochel, then it also might be okay. Why? Because if it's a din in his kavod, so if my Talmud, let's say, calls me and says, remember that shot I asked you? I also asked Rav Shechter and he said against you. So I'll say, I'm Mochel right away, for sure, of course, do whatever he said. So then for sure, if it's a din in the kavod, in my kavod, then for sure he's allowed to follow the second psak. And the Chacham's allowed to give the second psak. If they made a blatant error, and this requires a little more conversation than we have time for, but if they made a blatant error, the Me'iri in Sanhedrin says that it's clear if there was a blatant mistake that the first Chacham made, then the second Chacham is allowed to say, no, I'm sorry, he just got it wrong. It says in the Torah, Lo Sir Tzach, right? Like that example we gave before. He got it wrong. The question is, how blatant is blatant? So last marmokum I want to do with you, just take a quick look. This is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. This isn't just some, hashkafa. This is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. Source number 12. Not that there's anything wrong with hashkafa. Just saying, this is halacha. Says Shulchan Aruch, Simin Reish Mimbei, Sif Lamed Aleph. Kol tam rechachm shedeyosu mechuvano, seinu medab b'fnei misha gavim menu b'chachma, alfi shalom menu klum. It would be silly if I was in a room with, Rav David Feinstein, and I'd started to get up and say, you know what I think? If he's not my Rebbe, if he's a much greater person, you just keep your mouth shut and listen. Says Ramah, Ve'in ladam laharos ad abram shana. Person shouldn't be mora halacha until he's 40. Im yesh gadol menu bi'ir, if there's someone in the city who's greater than him. Afal pishenu rabo, even if that someone is not his Rebbe. Chacham sha'asar, here we go. Chacham sha'asar, ignore that. Chacham sha'asar, if you have a chacham that said something is asar. The second guy is not allowed to say a judgment call, I think he's wrong. Avlim yeshlo kabbalah sheta'a. But if I have a specific kabbalah that he made a mistake, o sheta'a b'dvar mishnah, or he made a mistake about something that's a clear mishnah. Now, in Chasam Mishpat Siman Chaf Hey, the Shulchan Aruch defines what that means, Ta'a b'dvar mishnah. It doesn't have to be a mishnah. Once the Chasimus HaTalmud happens, it could be a mistake in the Gemara. Once we have a Shulchan Aruch written, it's a mistake in the Shulchan Aruch. Anything that's a book accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael is a Pesach Halacha, and the first Chacham just didn't realize he missed the Nafna Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, so then I'm allowed to contradict him. Then Yachal HaHatir, I could even be Matir, that which he was Machmir. V'afilim Ta'a b'shik l'adas Yachal Lisav Litin Amar HaChiachzibo. If it was a judgment call, I can give him a call and say, you know, I think maybe you made the wrong judgment and have it out with him. I can't just straight up paskin against him, but I can give him a call and have a discussion with him and see if he's moda. V'lechein ein isru lishol l'sheni ubilvad shiodio soshekvar hor rishon lesar. So says the Ramah, are you allowed to ask the question we came here to answer? You asked a shayla to rabbi number one. You weren't sure about that answer. Are you allowed to ask second rabbi? Says the Ramah, yes, provided that you tell the second rabbi that you've already asked the shayla and what the answer was and who you asked it from. And then hopefully the second rabbi will know how to proceed accordingly if you were to disagree. Okay, so that's it. Stop there.
Is the